Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Let's Do Happy, Victoria Simmons. Let's find out what the team made of Let's Do Happy then and see what the general line is. Let's go to Sarah Huntley first, our ace actress and Lambda tutor in The Joys of Wimbledon. Your thoughts on Let's Do Happy?
Well, I listened to Let's Do Happy last night when I was rather tired at about 10:30, 10:15. and it made me really happy. Thank you. No, it's honestly, it's a lovely song, and it's such my sentiment at the moment that one of the things I've been doing is thinking, hang on, is that problem that you're going on about really, really that important? And I think every time we just have to have a blast of your song and a deep breath, and we're back in the right place again, which is, I think, Victoria, what it's all about. I really loved it.
Well, there we are.
Thank you.
Thumbs up from Sarah Huntley, Victoria Simmons, who we welcome to the programme now, which is fantastic. Good to connect with you, good soul.
Thank you.
But let's find out what our ace country music specialist, of course, thinks of the whole thing, based just outside Peterborough, Tessa Snart.
Hello. Well, I quite agree with Sarah. It is the happiest song of all time, I think. And
the happiest song of all time.
It is, I think so. I think, yeah, even if you're having a bad day, it will cheer you up, which I suppose is the point of the song. But I also hear so many influences in there, Jess and the Bandits, Jennifer Nettles, so many, Shania Twain. I think it's got a really good intro, really upbeat. Just a really good, happy song.
So focusing on Shania Twain, Jess and the Bandits, all sorts of other areas there. Not bad, Victoria, when you just simply dropped in an on-spec email saying, I'm an independent artist. Would you like to play my tune?
Yeah, that's all I needed. But I don't know what you need more. It was just a question, you know, would you do this for me?
Well, this is good stuff, and it's led you to this debut on the Midweek Drive. So let's open it up. And Sarah, any questions you'd like to put to the creator of course, Let's Be Happy, which Just Be Happy.
Just be happy, which says it all. So Victoria, how did it come about, this song? Tell us the story behind Just Be Happy.
Well, we were recording several different songs, and they were folky and country as well, but they were slow songs, maybe a bit, just slow songs. And we looked at each other when we were doing all these, and we looked at the other songs we were going to do and said, we need a happy song to put in the mix. And yeah, I just went home and said, okay, let's do happy. Right, I'll use that. Let's do a happy song. And it just became the title, and I came home and just wrote down stuff that I like doing and said, you know what, everybody needs to think about doing something happy.
You know, because I'm a terrible singer, and I've done one musical in the West End, but it was only because I had a loud but not particularly pleasant voice. That was how I do it. What I was going to say was, with you too, when you're singing, if you're an actor and you're getting yourself into that mental state of let's just be happy or a good feel place, when you're singing it, Victoria, are there certain images or emotional memories that you have to take you to that place vocally of a good feel free thing? Or does the music just do it for you? Or does, I don't know, I can only think of it in acting terms. How is it for someone as a singer?
When I was recording it, and we did another recording version, which is still being produced, I have to dance around a lot. Right. So you're doing a little jig beforehand, and then you have to try and wiggle a little bit and wiggle enough your lower body to make sure you're still near enough the microphone. But you do sort of think about a few things when recording, but obviously you can't think too much, because otherwise you're going to lose the words.
No, but I mean a general sort of feel, because one of the things I'd really like to do as a course or develop is this idea that we all have 5 or 6 theme tunes inside us for different feelings that you need to do. Mm. And sometimes the best passive aggressive behaviour is when people are being really uptight and difficult, is to say, just be happy in your head. And for instance, I can remember occasion many, many, many years ago, there was a very difficult man on the tube, the ticket, and he could see I got a ticket. It was in the days you had tickets and everything. And he wanted to say, well, just beep, beep off. Instead of which I said, I hope you have a really, really miserable in a very jolly way. because I thought that was more effective than showing that I was, he got underneath my skin irritated. But we were talking in the midweek drive with Mr. Sitwell the other day, and we were saying, what makes you happy? What is your thing in the, for summer holidays? So one of my things would be, like Mr. Sitwell was saying, is to be swimming in the sea and the smell of ombre solaire and just like a warm breeze and sitting there and having no stress and people that you want to be with. That would make me really happy. So what is your really, really happy?
Ah, well, you actually hear most of them in the song. Cats, chocolate. Yeah. saying things that, well, I've always said things that end up being misconstrued, which is why that's a big, it's a big section about that. Yeah, a lot of, mainly cats and chocolate, I'm going to go with.
But Victoria, that makes perfect sense. Now, I mean, let's just break it down a little bit for the listener. And again, kudos to yourself for actually diving into this program extremely well, even though you probably hadn't got a clue what the heck we were talking about. Four days ago, literally, you sent in an email to us at Southside Broadcasting, obviously sister station to Siren Radio, with these words. Hello, I'm an independent artist and would like you to listen to a song and perhaps feature it in your shows. My music is indie, pop, folk, and a bit of rock. My main inspirations would be the Carpenters, Adele and Taylor Swift. This song is called Let's Do Happy. It's about being happy and doing whatever makes you happy, no matter what others say. And there's a link to the song. And I would be happy to talk on a show as well. Thank you for your time. Best wishes, Victoria Simmons. That was basically it.
Good job. I wrote a good email. Nothing.
We then replied basically with just a one-liner. Hi, Victoria. Would you like to take part in a feature interview via Zoom sometime next week? And here you are. There we are. Done and dusted from that sort of point of view. It just goes to show we like to open that thing up. So we don't know anything about your background. And I know Tessa will be keen to obviously just dig a little bit deeper using her journalism background and find out. Take it away.
I've listened to obviously several of your songs. And like you say, Happy is very upbeat. The rest of them, like October Girl, which I particularly like, and I love your cover of, I think it's I Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd.
Yes.
They're very, very theatrical. And I also get, I don't know whether you ever watched Nashville, the series, Scarlett and Gunner, that's that sort of music, which kind of is where the folk comes in, I think. Where did it start for you? Did you sing or act first, or did it, I know the two kind of intertwine.
Yeah, they kind of intertwine.
What's your first love? Kind of where did it start?
I guess I started with music and singing, but since the age of 3-5 I've been a musical theater geek, so that's probably where the musical theater acting comes in. And I've done a lot of work in musical theater, so I mean it's not West End, so but you know, it's good with.
Yeah, you can definitely hear that. So when did you stumble then across the folk, country, rock, into all those genres? When did you stumble upon that? Because they're quite niche, aren't they? Obviously country music is. It's becoming very popular here in the UK now. So, yeah, what was your first memory of those sort of genres?
My dad sings, well, when I was little, it was Neil Diamond. It's still Neil Diamond. But you know, Neil Diamond, Eric Clapton. And when I was 7, he got me to do a talent show and I sang at the Carpenters, Top of the World, which I'm afraid I can't actually sing anymore because it makes me cry. I remember that and it didn't go well.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's quite a sad song anyway, isn't it? But I love it.
And then he got into country. So I got into country and it sort of followed on from there. And then from that, I've kind of woven my way into a slightly different section.
Okay.
That and, of course, the musical theatre. Can't get enough of that.
Time drifting in its way, but both ways, by the choice I have to make, the hand I'm holding or the heart at bay. No one in this story is left unbroken. Hardly thinking of how different it might be, there's always a side I never tried to see. It takes the situation out of fantasy. In the real world, nothing's perfect, and that includes me. Cause I'll hold you, kiss you, take you in my arms and say I'm sorry. Fall into my charms and you'll surrender. Helpless, caught up in this web of disbelief. Spun by a liar, a beggar and a thief. I've been
heard October Girl there, as indeed Tessa suggested, it might be well worth playing, and we have indeed produced that whole line there, sung by, of course, our guest today, Victoria Simmons. Sarah, any questions you'd like to put to Victoria about life, the universe, or would you perhaps break into, you know, I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation, and the only expectation I can see is whatever?
Well, I think Carole Carpenter had one of the most glorious voices ever. And
or even Karen Carpenter. What the hey?
Karen Carpenter. And as funny as mentioning about your dad and liking the Carpenters, my father was very into Carpenters. And in fact, very poignant, the song that makes me think of my dad, in fact, and I had it at his funeral, not because this is sad, but it made me think of like just happy, good times where life seemed simple in the sense of what made you happy or content, was Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear Close to You?
On the day that's before, lovely song.
The angels got together and decided to create a dream to come true. And my dad had the most wonderful blue eyes, almost as blue as Alexis's, actually.
But I'm not your father, Sarah. You know, just in case you're actually wondering, there's a sort of Empire Strikes Back moment, but yeah.
No, not at all. But the reason I like that song with my dad is because he had a general sort of glass half full feeling and feel good. And in fact, the other music that I really like, which shows my age, but I always put on when I'm a bit stressed to go, actually, life is good, life is sexy, life is fun, and I'm not getting into these small-minded, irritating people, is I love Burt Bacharach. Burt Bacharach, I absolutely adore Burt Bacharach. It's become a bit of a joke with my family that, oh gosh, he's got a Burt Bacharach on. You know, things like, you see this guy's in love with you, all that kind of, I suppose I'm a bit of a 70s schmaltz person. But I went to see Burt Bacharach at several times in live in concert, one at the Festival Hall, one at Hampton Court. And he's just like that. It's the same kind of feel as the Carpenters, that actually it's a bit jingly, but it isn't. And I just think it makes me go to a very good, like French music. I love listening to sort of French folk music as well. Mm-hmm. So what's going to be your next venture? What's your next song, Victoria?
Oh, well, we've tried to make, no, I can't say tried to, we have made several of these songs because they were done a while ago. And I think you always feel like you can improve on something you've done. So we've re-recorded Let's Do Happy and Touch the Stars and made them into more rockier versions, which was fun. And then after that, we shall see.
Have you got a particular, I love musicals too. What's your favourite musical or one of your favourite musicals? What floats your
boat? To watch or to perform?
Well, to perform, actually. I'm interested in what you like performing.
Oh. Well, I like singing along to Wicked. I did that for at our musical theatre studies. Mm-hmm. And I sung that, one of those songs, for my final. And so that's always a good one. But at the moment, I really enjoy what's it called?
It'll come. Dear Evan Hansen. And actually, to watch. That's to perform. What about to watch? What musical thing would you like to watch?
Actually, I quite like watching Les Mis, but not the film. Or I haven't been to see it on the West End. My granddad gave me the 15th anniversary video when I was little, and just watching that and seeing them perform the songs. It didn't have to be in context of the actual show, but watching them perform, that was amazing.
Mm. Right, the back of your neck. Do you like Stephen Sondheim? I can't speak. Stephen Sondheim? Do you like him?
Yes. Hmm. There. You kind of say, I don't want to say that I prefer someone over another, because then I'm like, yeah, but he did that one and they did that one.
It's always problematic when you're actually given choice to work through the whole process. Tessa, I mean, we mentioned Burt Bacharach, mentioned the Carpenters and so on, obviously Shania Twain. But where are your favourites resting at present?
My favourite, what is it, artists in general? Or oh my goodness, that's such a big question, because obviously I'm such a fan of so many. And with country music, there's a lot of crossovers now, but I guess, who am I listening to at the moment? I mean, it ranges from Keith Urban to, I don't know, Kelsey Ballerini to, I mean, I love rock as well, Victoria. So, I mean, I like a bit of Def Leppard, going back to, you know, the glam rock. And then modern music as well. But speaking of theatre, on the other side of that, what about festivals? Is there any festivals you'd love to play in the country? I know that's a big question, because obviously we've got a lot of country folk, Americana, you know, the Long Road, all of that. Do you think you'll aim for that?
I'd like to, but you always say oh, I'd love to do a certain festival. Everybody seems to want to do Glastonbury, but I don't actually think Glastonbury would be very good for me. There are some of the smaller ones, fringe festivals, things like that. Yeah, they would be ones to aim for. I did a few festivals in Belgium and Germany, one in Berlin, so that was fun.
Wow. And how did that come about then? I did read something somewhere because I was trying to read your story. You haven't you got a podcast as well, actually? You started
I do have a podcast. Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I just decided that, okay, these people don't know me. They don't really probably understand my songs. And I think that it's time they found out. That was literally my thinking. So I've literally gone through all of the songs in order, because I think that's important, because it shows the story of our progression into maybe talking about one thing and when then feeling a bit happy, and then we're like, no, I think I'll go sad anyway. And then we get this finished, and then when I was doing the last one, is it out today, it's about radio edits, so the ones I sent you. And
yeah, we couldn't have
about
the effing and jeffing, Victoria. I mean, that would be just too much, basically. You know, if you'd be dropping in the F-bomb on a regular basis, we just would have had to cut it out. You know, that's the bottom line.
There's no swearing in my songs. No. A few ad-libs that are kind of cheeky, but other than that, that's fine.
I think the podcast is a great idea, and doing it in order, which I think, I'm guessing, is where sort of Taylor Swift and Adele comes into play, because, you know, Adele does her album sort of in the number order, doesn't she? And Taylor Swift very much writes, you know, she's always reinventing herself. So it makes complete sense to do that. And it's such a good idea to tie the two together as well, because podcasting is huge now. So that's interesting. So can people listen to that on sort of all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes?
All the platforms. Yep. You can do Spotify, and I always put them out on SoundCloud, so along with it, the songs that they're talking about. So that's great.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, Tessa, you have two podcasts. I mean, you had Sound and Country Vision. You've got obviously Country in the Kitchen. Sarah, of course, Sound and Sarah's Vision is actually there in terms of podcasting scenarios. I mean, that's something, Sarah, which back in the day, people were talking about podcasts. You think it was something to do with sort of beans in the garden or peas or something, obviously, peas in a pod. But any thoughts from your own point of view about what Victoria's putting together there in terms of a kind of podcast companion, an online companion?
There we go.
You have musical magic.
Well, I think it's a lovely idea. And I think songs mean an awful lot more when you know the story behind them or how they became created. And there's one of my favourite radio programmes is called Soul Music, and it will be, I don't know if you've heard that, they'll take a song that we all know and talk about what the person writing was, what it means to other people, what that does. And it's very different for every single person, but I really like very much hearing the story behind why a song came to be, which is why I think I like film music so much, like things like like The Way We Were with Robert Redford or something like that, like Memories. But it means so much more. So I think that podcast is brilliant. In fact, I think that's the way to go, because I was looking, it's been a long day. I was listening to Desert Island Discs, and they had the guy from the Pet Shop Boys talking about, did you listen to that? I thought
Neil Tennant.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for helping the elderly here. And listening to Neil Tennant. And I think people would find it interesting. He was talking about the 70s, which obviously I remember very well. And looking back at what he's written and saying actually that some of his early, in fact, Tessa, you'll know this, because he was quite folky, wasn't he, at the beginning before he went to the Pet Shop.
Yeah.
How his different style has developed. And now he's going back to folk. But I find that just really, really, I keep saying the word fascinating, but I mean it, intriguing and fascinating as to how people's creative juices go in different ways at different times. And he said too, distance at looking at yourself. I think this is true with performances in acting as well. Something you think, oh my God, when you see something you've done many years ago. Oh no, that is so bad. And then give it 20 years, you go, oh, actually, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. Because you need to be removed from it slightly to actually evaluate where it was for the time and when it was.
Okay.
And I'm sure that's the same with music as well. Mm-hmm. I love the other one I like is probably you're going to go, oh, sad old girl laughing. I love the Travelling Wilburys as well. Do you like the Travelling Wilburys?
Yeah. Have you heard of a Travelling Wilburys?
You and me? That's...
Tessa, you surely can't say you've never heard of the Travelling Wilburys.
I don't know. Mate, I need
great
to
super bands. You've got George Harrison. You've got Tom Petty. You've got Jeff Lynne, who's, I think, the only Travelling Wilbury who's still around with us. Orbison is actually there.
Oh, my goodness.
A collection called the Travelling Wilburys. Really good.
I love driving around to that, and Kirsty MacColl, I just absolutely adore Kirsty MacColl, and Thank You for the Days is one of my favourite songs. I just adore that. Do you like Thank You for the Days? They don't know what I'm talking about.
They do. Right, okay, Sarah, I'm going to actually get what favourite Travelling Wilburys track.
Oh my goodness,
It's All Right, It's Okay. The one about. You're all. I can't think of the title of it.
It's all right. Okay, we'll have It's All Right then, and we'll squeeze that in now.
Well, it's all. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring. Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay. Well, somewhere down the road when somebody plays at the end of the line, purple haze. Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line. Ashamed of the car I drive. I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side, I'm satisfied. Well, it's all.
Traveling Wilburys there on Midweek Drive. Tessa, honestly, you've never heard of the Traveling Wilburys? Your parents would be shocked.
They would be. I probably have. I mean, you know, I just didn't know, for the fact
that in the two albums that they produced, album one was called Volume One, the Traveling Wilburys Volume One, and their second album was Traveling Wilburys Volume Three. So many people spent years looking for Volume Two. There never was one. It was Volume One and Volume Three, and Traveling Wilburys.
Well, there we go. I need to do more research.
End of the line.
Rude, actually, some of the songs. They really are rather raunchy, rather saucy. Yes.
There we go. Wow.
So Traveling Wilburys will be there. And obviously, Kirsty MacColl, well worth accessing in all sorts of ways. In fact, there's a slight edge of Kirsty MacColl, this, not, of course, Kirsty MacColl to some of Victoria's sound, I found, Sarah Ray. It's a touch there. She's in these shoes, maybe not. Victoria, what does the future hold? I mean, obviously, you've got your podcasts, you've got your albums, you're working through that process. What about the next 6 months, for instance, now that we're kind of looking to a new prime minister? Are we looking to all sorts of other exciting things taking place? That's the Prime Minister of Italy, of course. We don't know whether we'll have a new Prime Minister in England or Britain. But all sorts of things are happening. Where are you going to be planning? What are your hopes?
My hopes are just to, at the moment, keep plodding along. I'm going to have to just keep happy. That's the whole plan. Get by Christmas, maybe in some shows. But that would be acting and singing. So maybe people could come along to those.
And geographically, whereabouts in the British Isles do people find you?
Geographically, probably the south, but at the moment I'm in France. So usually I'm Surrey, Dorset, Bournemouth.
So home counties, basically.
That sort of area. But I travel.
And can we ask whereabouts in France you are?
Brestwick. It's halfway down left hand side.
Oh, we just asked.
Nobody ever knows it.
We have sort of colleagues who are based over in France and all sorts of other areas. And did you have any trouble in terms of getting across the border in these post-Brexit times?
Yes. So many, because the lockdown here was quite drastic and you weren't allowed either to cross a border or anything else, and to get into England was a faff, and getting out was, you had to have lots of time at home for being in France, and then you got over and you had to be quarantined there for a few days, so basically nobody was going. But recently I was in England, came back, and there was no problem. People were showing all their passes that they had, and the people at the stations were going, well, we don't need them. Yeah. Welcome to France.
It's almost as though we've gone through a whole other world, basically. But of course, the good news is, as indeed Tessa and Sarah can attest to, that clearly since we left the European Union, England has been much better as a country.
No comment, slightly in cheek
from that perspective. Do you have a French background, or is it just a case of you like to sort of spend time in France and time in England? What's the French connection?
I was born in England, and then when I was 12 I moved to France, and then after 18 I kind of go back and forth.
Very good.
And the album was also recorded in France. So.
And it just shows the magic there. Okay, Sarah, any other closing questions you'd like to put to Victoria at present?
Well, I just think you should listen to Françoise Hardy then, if you're in France, because she's one of my favourite French singers. And I spent 6 months living in Paris when I was in my early 20s, and I adore Françoise Hardy. Do you like her?
I have no idea.
Well, listen, you need to Google some Françoise Hardy. She's just fantastic. Mm.
All over the world, people must meet and part. There's someone like me feeling a pain in their heart. the sun's fading light all over the sky. There is a same warm glow here under that star. I'm wanting you to know, wherever you are, that I still love you so.
Okay. Another sort of tip for the whole sort of system. Were you hearing some of Françoise as well? We might sort of squeeze that into this little piece as well. So at least they've heard the Travelling Wilburys and Françoise as well. You know, it's all very important. Tessa, from your own point of perspective, before we come around to those final two questions, anything else you'd like to ask Mademoiselle Simons?
Yes, definitely. I like that. Yeah, have you got, this is probably a good question if we've got any art students listening to this, have you got any advice for them? Have you had any great advice that you've been given, whether it's from your theatrical background, whether it is, you know, from the different genres? Yeah, have you got any advice you could give?
Definitely don't take anybody's criticism to heart. That when you go for an acting job or you're asking for someone to play it on the radio, it's a personal choice. If it's music, it's very, don't worry if somebody doesn't like it. And if you're at an audition, just don't worry. I've got In the Song Winners, you listen to, it's nothing wrong with being second best, but the advice that they'll give you, don't be too harsh with yourself, because they're just trying to help you get on with and make yourself better. That's what I can say.
I think that's great advice, isn't it? Really, really good advice. And just stay happy. There you go. Yeah. Just do happy.
And to thine own self be true, or thrill your lead, as we might say. Sarah, the Françoise Hardy track that we actually featured was indeed Françoise Hardy and All Over the World, if that's okay with your good self. So hopefully that's the one that's sort of gone in there. Or you, it's all right. But we've reached a stage now where before we ask Victoria to reintroduce herself singing the awesome happy song, as we say, well, it's not the happy song, it's the Let's Just Be Happy song. Two final questions. Sarah, would you like to ask the first of those two final questions to Victoria, please?
Victoria, have you had a reasonably interesting link up with us?
It's been brilliant.
Good, that's what we wanted to say. And the next question is, will you be coming back? Sorry.
I was going to say, Tessa could ask that, but
over to Tessa.
Build the part, Sarah. Always build the part. If you've got the opportunity to take that together.
I'm handing on to Tessa. Over to Tessa.
Oh my goodness, Sarah, you'd have probably done a better job, but let's try. Here we go. And will you return or do another Zoomer with us in the near future? Oh, there we are. I think that's a yes.
Of course we will.
I think that's a yes.
Tessa, has it been good for you? Has it brought a bit of happiness to your world?
It certainly has, just what I needed.
Excellent. And Sarah, okay for yourself?
Oh, yes. It's been perfect.
Well, we'll be back. Hopefully, Sarah and Tessa will be back for a feature we've got with American actor Eddie McClintock, who's joining us very shortly, of course, from Warehouse 13, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and a whole stack of other things. He's back in Los Angeles, so that's still upcoming. But Victoria, your task now remains, would you like to introduce yourself? And I'm going to ask you to do this in French, if possible, with yourself singing, of course, the awesome Just Be Happy. Over to you, Victoria.
Donc, bonjour, je suis Victoria, et vous avez écouté ma chanson Let's Do Happy. Merci.
Don't see why I laugh at that.
you may consider that life is a video game these days, but new research from Lloyds Bank suggests that over half of 6 to 10-year-olds now play video games lasting between 6 and 20 hours each week. However, 39% of parents do not routinely enforce adult supervision whilst gaming, and 38% of parents have never spoken to their children about staying safe from fraud whilst gaming online, with a quarter lacking the knowledge on how to protect their child. So we need to call in a genuine superhero when it comes to sorting out such matters. So we're delighted to actually welcome back to the Midweek Drive the awesomely talented soul that is Helen Skelton. How are you, Helen?
Hello, very good, thank you. That was a kind intro.
Always good to connect with your good self. And congratulations, by the way, on your recent return to Radio 5 Live. It's good that you'll be in place for weekend broadcasting as well nationally. But that's a by-the-by. Let's talk about this particular Lloyds Bank survey, which is actually quite worrying. I mean, not only from the amount of time that youngsters spend online, but also the fact that there doesn't seem to be any check and balance system in place to actually say, don't do that.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it'd be wrong of us to sit here and say, do you know what, parents shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that and should sit over their kids, because the way that the world is, and as you said in that intro, 56% of kids regularly, 6 to 10-year-olds, do online game. And if you are a parent who has more than one thing to do, which is 99.9% of us, then you can't stand over them and watch all the time. You know, we have to let our kids do things on their own. So it's inevitable that kids will, I think it's inevitable that kids will play video games, and at some point they're going to be on their own. So yes, it's going to happen. But I think this is all about encouraging people to know the signs to look out for, to be on guard, to just be a little bit better educated, and also have conversations about online fraud.
And this, of course, brings us neatly around to S.H.I.E.L.D., which many people, myself included, thought, oh, they're bringing in Nick Fury and Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division, or whatever it refers to in the Marvel Universe. It is a S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not referring to, obviously, Marvel as such. Tell us about S.H.I.E.L.D. guidance.
So S.H.I.E.L.D. is a code that has been designed to start those conversations, to keep parents aware, to keep kids on guard. So, I mean, on guard, with your Marvel's reference there, feels like a relative term, but it's maybe a bit too much. We're not trying to scare people out of online gaming. We're just saying, be aware, because there are fraudsters out there. So S.H.I.E.L.D. broken down stands for screen, hide, investigate, evaluate, lock and de-link. And they're just things that you should think about to protect yourself, to protect your kids, to protect your identity, your banking details, all of those things when you are online. It's look up the code, chat about it with your kids, chat about it with your parents, think about those four things, and hopefully you'll be better placed to keep yourself safe online.
Yeah, they are very much common sense things, but sometimes we often neglect the common sense for our own reasons, etc. But certainly screening any chats from strangers, as well as unexpected gifts and special editions or time-limited offers. Never transfer money to someone you haven't met in person. Again, makes perfect sense. Hide personal information from others at all times. Investigate any gaming-related purchases. And, of course, evaluate whether gaming-related downloads are being made from established, trusted sources. That's really critical, Helen, isn't it? That the sources do need to be trusted. They do need to actually be recognised in terms of how they go about, because fraudsters are notoriously clever blighters, and they can actually put things in place that maybe look genuine but aren't.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the other thing that I think is important about this is don't feel stupid or silly, because yes, when you say it out loud, oh, don't, you know, hand over any details, don't hand over any money, it's so easily done when you're busy and you've got things going on. And also our nature is to be trusting. You know, I have talked openly how about I got caught out by a TV licensing scam. Your TV license needs updating. Here's the payment link, pay it now and it'll all be sorted. And I did it without even thinking. But when I went back into it, I looked at the link and the email address and the web address didn't quite add up and didn't quite make sense. But I wasn't looking for that. I was genuinely in a position I was genuinely in a position where I needed to buy my new TV license. My phone's pinging while I'm talking. I was in a position where I needed to buy a new TV license. So I believed it and I went with it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it can happen to the best of us, and listeners are aware that if it can happen to Helen Skelton, that's clearly the case. These things happen. We sometimes actually have those errors, but you do need to constantly actually be vigilant with respect to that. Let's talk a little bit, Helen, about the young people, the young adults, 6 to 10 year olds who are actually engaging in online gaming, etc. It all seems to be very much about communication, making sure that you take time as a parent, presumably, to have a discussion with your children about things you should be wary of, just as perhaps in times past you would clearly warn children, don't speak to any strangers that you meet in the street who offer you sweets.
Exactly. And that's, you know, it's a sign of the times. So much of our life is online. So much of our kids' lives are online. You know, most parents will tell you that their, you know, kids' homework and everything is online. So it's part of our world. And it's just, this is all about having those conversations, making sure people are better armed. You know, to be forearmed is forewarned. And that couldn't be true in this. Like you say, fraudsters are, they're sophisticated, they're clever, they know what they're doing. And sometimes in a world where, you know, it's not uncommon for you to have to put all of your details in, this is just about saying to people, just think before you do, just check before you do, just be aware that this can happen.
And clearly, Helen, you've taken the test, you've read the Shield guidance. Do you feel confident that actually when it comes to online fraud, actually you're pretty much sus now?
I think it would be naive to ever assume that, but I would like to think that I am better positioned, let's put it that way.
Yeah, always good. Helen, where can people go to find out further details about this Lloyd survey and indeed Shield?
Yeah, you can go onto the Lloyd's website. There are links there to gaming websites, which will give you all of the advice that you need. It's sort of a dual-headed thing. So Lloyd's have linked up and taken proper and professional advice. And I can give you the proper full address when I get to it.
It's all coming together. That's the important thing. It's the wondrousness of life and being online and pressing those buttons and hoping for the best. That's the key thing.
There you go. You know it. So I'm trying, why can you never find the actual full address when you need it? But do you know what? Just Google Shield Advice, Lloyd's Bank, and that'll take you to where you need to go.
Yeah, very much so. And again, just interesting in terms of 4 to 6, the most common age to start playing video games. When did your own children actually start playing video games?
Oh, my 6-year-old, oh, my 7-year-old rather, is just getting into it. And it's not something that I would say I am a massive fan of, but as a parent, you know, it's playground currency and I want my kids to not be the odd ones out and I want my kids to play with their mates and know what everyone's talking about. So I would say probably like a lot of parents, I don't necessarily encourage it, but it happens for my 7-year-old. But he's at the minute he's more into FIFA and that makes him.
I'm glad you said that, Helen. I would have been worried if you said he was into Call of Duty, various other bits and pieces. No,
well,
not age appropriate.